Good evening, ladies, and welcome back to our online Bible study. Tonight we're going to continue with our study of the names of God, and tonight we're going to talk about Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Our Father God, I ask that you will be with us tonight. Help us to speak truth and impart something useful to the listeners. And I pray that you will help us to have open hearts and open ears. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel 17:45 says, David said to the Philistine, "You come out against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." This passage takes place right before David and Goliath have their battle, which is, as you know, a one-sided battle. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we learn about King Saul's failure as a king. He was the first king that Israel had. The people asked God for a king over and over, and finally God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint Saul as king. But Saul turned away from following God, and God withdrew his spirit from King Saul. And in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, Samuel is dispatched by God to go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons as the next king. And that son is David. And he's the youngest of the sons. And then in chapter 17, we find that the Philistine army has invaded Israel. And the Israelite army responds with under the leadership of King Saul. The Philistine army is on one mountainside to the north. The Israelite army is on another mountainside to the south. And in between them is this valley, and they're kind of at a standoff, because as soon as you march down off of your mountaintop to go attack the other side, you are vulnerable. And so these sides just kind of sit there and stare at each other, until one day one warrior from the Philistine side walks down into the valley and issues a challenge. From 1 Samuel 17, 8 through 11. "Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us.' Then the Philistine said, 'This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other.' On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified." Now, David happens to be in the camp that day. He was sent there by his father to bring some food for his brothers, and then to go back home and report how his brothers were doing. And David hears Saul's challenge, and in verse 26, David asks the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David is surprised that no one has taken up this challenge. After all, they are the army of the living God. And his brothers respond to him in verse 28. Then Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, and he burned in anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." So David keeps on questioning the soldiers, and word gets to Saul that someone is willing to fight Goliath. So starting again in verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then David took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Now let's size up this battle. We have Goliath on one side, a giant. And on the other side, we have David, a young man. On the one side, we have Goliath in full armor with a javelin, a sword, and a shield. And on the other side, we have David with no armor, a stick, his walking stick, and a sling with 5 stones. What you might not know about Goliath is that Goliath had some weaknesses. A lot of people today speculate that Goliath had a disease called acromegaly. Now, if you remember Andre the Giant, he was a wrestler and he was an actor. He had acromegaly. And this is a tumor that develops on the pituitary gland. A side effect of acromegaly is poor eyesight, double vision. Another weakness that Goliath has is he's used to hand-to-hand combat. He's expecting somebody to come down and stand within arm's length of him and fight. But let's look at David's strengths. David is young. He's healthy. He has experience defending his flock. David's weapon is also an advantage. I'm sure you've seen pictures of the kind of sling that David used. It was a pouch with 2 leather straps attached to it. And they would put the stone, or sometimes a metal ball, in the pouch and whirl it around and around and around, just like the song says. Most likely, when David was whirling his sling around, it was going 6 to 7 revolutions per second. When he launched his stone, it could travel at approximately 35 yards per second. Slingers were accurate up to a distance of 200 yards and could even take down birds in flight. The stones in the valley where this battle was taking place were not ordinary stones. They were stones made of barium sulfate, and they weighed twice the normal weight of a stone that size. But David had another advantage. David had confidence in God Almighty, the God of the armies. What gave David the confidence he needed? Was it his experience with the sling? Was it his knowledge of warfare? Was it because he somehow knew about Goliath's weaknesses? Was he just being foolhardy and living dangerously, oblivious to the peril he was about to face? The answer is found in verses 41 through 47. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." David's confidence was in the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. You see, David knew without a doubt that his God was able. David knew that Jehovah was the mighty God. David knew Jehovah as the God who was always there to defend us, fight our battles, and win our wars. David knew that there was no enemy his Jehovah Sabaoth could not defeat. Isaiah 47:4 says, "Our Redeemer, the Lord Almighty is his name, is the Holy One of Israel." And this is the Holy One of Israel that David knew. So what about you? Can you say, along with Romans 8:31, "What then shall I say in response to these things? If God is for me, who can be against me?" Can you say with the writer of Hebrews from Hebrews 13:6, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" You can say these things if you belong to Christ. You can say with John from John 5, 1 John 5:3 through 5, "In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For I am born of God, and I overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even my faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one like me who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." If God is your Savior, you can say with Jeremiah from Jeremiah 20:11 through 13, "But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will struggle and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my case. I sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. for he rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. I hope that God is your Lord Sabaoth. I hope that you depend on the God of the mighty host of heaven to fight your battles. Psalm 46, I'd like to read that. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts up his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Isn't that comforting? Read that again after the lesson. Psalm 46. To summarize, Jehovah Sabaoth is God's name for those times when we have reached our end, finding ourselves powerless, in turmoil, embroiled in real spiritual warfare, and with no source of help. So meditate deeply on the truths revealed in the magnificent, sufficient name of Jehovah Sabaoth, and you will find that you will be enabled to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's from Ephesians 6, 14 through 17, by the way. Let's close with prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for coming to us in our need, when there's nowhere else to turn, when we feel beset by foes, when we feel weighed down by problems and anxieties and cares. Thank you for being the God who wages war on our behalf, who enables us to stand firm. If we'll just be still, we will know that you are God, and we will know that you are there for us. So thank you, Father, for all you do for us in our weakest moments. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.